Welcome back, everybody. This is Eric and Chad here with Iraq Veteran 8888. Today, we have another gun gripe episode for you, and this one is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about the HK slap. Now, we're going to talk about other guns that you slap as well, but the primary focus is the MP5 and variants of which. I think you're going to find this video really fun. We are going to break into this one. Before we get started, I would like to thank our friends at Flatline Fiber Company. They're right here in Locust Grove, Georgia, a local Georgia company. They make awesome soft goods, some awesome slings, ear pro wraps that we use all the time. They have the name tags on them. They do those. Check them out, Flatline Fiber. And big thanks to them for supporting our videos and a local company right here in Georgia in our hometown, which is really awesome. So, all right, Chad. I know that there's a lot of people that have some varying opinions on this, and I'm hoping that maybe we can sort of put this to bed a little bit today. What do you think?
I think we're going to make some people highly upset.
Well, so, you know, all right, the truth hurts.
Can you slap an HK? Yes. Should you?
No.
Ooh.
Why, you ask?
Man, we're going
to... Why? Before you go into the comments...
We're going to have a differing of opinion here, I think.
Before you go into the comments section and roast me, let us explain why. All right, so...
You look, happen to have an MP5.
Do I? Oh.
John wow! McClane!
This one's cool because it's got like the old school Surefire on the front of it.
That's right, man. All you need is Hans Gruber. It is December.
It is
December. I don't care what anybody says. And Die Hard is a Christmas movie. All right, that's a whole nother video in its own card.
So look. Oh my gosh. Like the...
How are you going to get a can on that? You just want to run it loud?
You just take that off and you put the can on. Or I've got another 4-end.
Anyway.
I've got another 4-end to accessorize when I, you know, put a can on.
1989 callback. They want their 4-end.
I think
back.
It's cool, man. Look at that thing. I mean, that's awesome.
It is cool.
I got that in a trade from our buddy Chris over at... Mad Custom.
That particular light might be bright enough to see the keyhole to open the door.
Maybe. Like, it's aesthetically pleasing. It's cool. It's old school because, you know, I'm getting older, so I'm starting to like more retro things, and this is pretty neat, right?
You're retro.
I'm very retro. All right, so, like, the whole reason this video topic came up was range day. We were running this gun, okay, on the line, and this is a full auto, okay? So we were like... running the same like crazy.
Like a raped ape.
Yeah, mag after mag after mag. And everybody came up. They're like, ooh, I want to shoot the MP5. I mean, MP5 is iconic, right? Everybody knows what an MP5 is from movies and video games. Hold on, yours. So I asked the question. Hey there, you want to shoot the MP5? Yeah, I'd love to. Are you familiar with the weapon platform? No, I'm not. All right, let me walk you through it. I'm like, all right, I get to loading procedure. Show them how to load it. All right, some people I loaded the mag and everything for, but anyways, I show them how to load it. And I say, look, you can slap it, but I would appreciate it if you would just pull the handle back, rotate it downwards, and let it go. You know, don't ride it. Just pull back and just let go. What do they do? Whack! And it was funny because we were talking about this video, and I swear, like, these things, they spy on you, and I think it goes straight to John Lovell, and he's spying on us too, because I saw an Instagram post of him, like, slapping this, like, I guess an AP5 or something that he was doing a review on. It's like, slap, 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 slap. Every scene just cut. I'm like, John, no, John, stop it. But these folks would take it and just slap it, and I'm like, oh, and look, it's right there in the user manual, like the original H&K MP5 user manual. Administrative loading. All right. Pull the cocking lever to the rear. Lock in the notch there, right? Insert a full magazine. Using the palm of your hand, slap the cocking handle.
Go ahead and give it a nice slap for it.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, made me hurt inside.
Yeah.
So you slap it and you let it ride home. Stripping the round off the top of the magazine and putting the gun in the battery, and it is ready to use.
There ain't nothing better than just slapping that girl one good time.
But when you're running a gun like this on a line, thousands of rounds later, you get like galling in this little notch here on the cocking lever, or on the cocking tube. And you can dress it down, but it's just annoying. You know, it's sharp. You can cut you. And it's just like, you know, there are certain guns I'd say, like, yeah, just slap the thing. Like, this is a post sample. It's a cheap gun. It's a PTR. Well, I say cheap. I mean,
that's definitely not a cheap gun.
as far as MP5s go, it is a more affordable variant. Let's put it like that.
Especially compared to a transferable. But, you know, yeah, a good transferable, you're talking $30,000, $35,000 for a real MP5.
But, like, it's just more of an annoyance than anything else. And it's just, you know, having to take the extra time to dress this thing down, and you're getting through the paint. You got to touch it up to make it look right again and keep it from rusting and stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a little bit too picky with it. But it's like, I like to take care of our things, right? And it's just something that sees a lot of use. It's like, you know, just instead of slapping it every single time and galling that notch, you know, just easy. Look, watch. It's very simple. Insert magazine. Pull to the rear. Drop low. Let go. It's not difficult. And then, like, in the manual as well, they have a section. It's administrative reloading. All right? The gun's empty. You fired your last shot. The bolt stays forward. It does not lock open on MP5s. All right? You drop the empty mag out. You put a fresh mag in. You pull to the rear. And you let go. Just like on any other gun, you know, with a charging handle, right? Those are the two loading procedures in the manual itself. But there's a reason for it, okay? And Eric's looking at me like, I'm ready. I'm ready to talk about it. Come on, let's go.
Okay.
There is a reason for it.
I'm going to play devil's advocate just a little bit. So I understand, you know, like if someone's got a really expensive transferable MP5, I certainly wouldn't want them slapping around on it and galling it up. I mean, a lot of collectors that own like a lot of the high-end stuff probably don't shoot them much anyway.
No.
Right?
They're investments.
And some people do, of course, and that's fine. More power to, you know, hey, it's your MP5. You want to shoot it, by all means, absolutely shoot it. I mean, it'd be hard-pressed not to want to. Yeah. I mean, like you think about some of the people that have SVDs in the wrap or in the transit crate. You know, like a brand new SVD with, you know, all the matching paperwork and a transit crate with a matching optic and magazines, electro pencil, all that, you know, unfired.
Can I say something real quick? Yeah. All right. It's still just an AK. Oh,
it's,
oh no. No, it's not. It's not. Okay. Go ahead and roast me again.
SVD is not just a big AK.
I know, but that's what the internet says.
That's what the internet says. So it must be true. So going on to what the internet says, and it must be true. Let's talk about the MP5 a little bit. So, all right, you know, in an operational environment, if you will, okay, you're in a hurry. Now, I, for one, okay, you shoot the MP5, the magazine's empty. The bolt does not lock to the rear. It stays to the front, okay? You remove the empty magazine. In theory, as the manual says, you put a fresh magazine in, and you pull the charging handle to the rear smartly to a hard stop, and you let go. In my experience, I find that I prefer to lock the bolt to the rear when the magazine is empty and then remove the magazine, because a full magazine on a closed bolt may not always lock in very well. And especially under
duress,
you know, you might want to just, I personally feel that the manual of arms to efficiently make sure that you can load the gun properly. I personally feel that the bolt should be locked to the rear, remove the magazine, or you could remove the empty magazine first, then lock it to the rear.
I usually remove the mag, inspect the mag, see that it's empty. That way I know there's not a malfunction or something. Yeah. And then I lock the bolt to the rear, and then I insert the fresh mag and then proceed like that. That's the way I've always loaded them. So
once you lock the bolt to the rear, the nice thing about the lock is that it holds the bolt open, because there is no last round bolt hold open. So that's important. And you got to think the Germans had the MP40 in World War II. And how did the MP40 work? It had that notch, right? And there was no safety. So you really only had just that notch was the safety. And a soldier could walk around with their MP40 with the bolt locked up into the rear. And if they needed to fire it, they could have a hot mag in there and just put it down into the unnotched position, and the gun would be ready to fire. So you got to think about German doctrine. They were already used to, you know, having the lock up and to the right, because that's just what they were used to from World War II. So when you're talking about that particular situation, then absolutely, you put a fresh mag in there. And if it's the duress of combat, the duress of a stressful situation, obviously you just smack the crap out of that thing and move on with life. And of course, I'm a slapper. I slap them. And, you know, especially if it's a Zenith or, you know, a Modern Century gun or PTR. And I'm not saying those aren't fantastic guns, right? Like, our Zeniths have held up great, and they're made on German machinery in Turkey. And the Century guns essentially are the same guns. They're still made on the Turkish, on German machinery in Turkey. And they're fantastic. And the PTRs are U.S. made, and they're fantastic. So all of the modern MP5 clones that are out there are really great guns. I know there for a while, I'm not sure if Dakota's still in business, but was doing some really great work. And if you want something, you know, really correct and close to, you know, the original German configuration as possible, Dakota's done a really great job. I mean, they use very specific finishes, very specific welding techniques, as does PTR. And they're fantastic guns. Well, and that's just kind of a little side note there. Besides just the HK slap idea, some of these clones are fantastic.
Well, you do still have the original article, but, you know, HK just decides occasionally to grace the peons with a new model that still doesn't really fit the bill 110%.
Well, so they came out with that one MP5 that was, like, really neutered.
SP5 or whatever it was.
FP5 or whatever it was. Yeah. And then H&K wound up dropping a little bit more appropriate of a gun that the American market wanted. And I'm not going to...
Oh, yes, you are.
All right. Well, look, I'm not going to say who specifically I spoke to. I don't want to throw those people under the bus or anything. But from my recollection and my understanding... was some rep in Germany walked into, like, I don't know, the boss's room with that MP5, the one they import, and said, hey, we want to import this to the United States. Can we do that? And they were like, yeah. And that was pretty much it. Like, because apparently, like, the German government is very much, like, they don't want military-style weapons going to
America.
Really,
civilians.
Not just America, but I think, like, they're kind of particular about it.
That's the word. That's the word on the street.
That's anyways, the word on so. The street. But the point is, though, we do have MP5 clones out now, or real deal HK marked, HK import MP5s that are, I mean, they're a far cry from the original article, but they at least have a tri lug. Mm. And can put muzzle devices on them at least. They don't have that neutered forend and all that crap.
Yeah.
And they still utilize at least, I think, a push pin lower, at least on one of them uses a push pin. It might use like a shelf or something. So that's one thing about the lowers too. And we won't get into all of that because that's a lot of nerdy crap that we don't want to really get into in this particular video. We might do an MP5 type video later where we break out some of these variants and kind of discuss some of the differences. But getting back to the slap, that was really about the only main thing I wanted to say is, like, in a stressful environment, absolutely. An operational environment, you know, an operator is just going to slap the mess out of it and get that gun back in battery and get it back into work. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking a really expensive, you know, $35,000 gun or some transferable, obviously, you know, you might want to treat that with a little more respect, especially if it's not your gun.
Exactly.
But then again, someone is not going to show up to some machine gun shoot with a $35,000 transferable MP5. And just let everybody run it ragged. I mean, like, they might run it, but they have, that's their prerogative how they want to treat their own gun. Now, one other thing I want to mention is that the MP5 is not the only gun that uses that type of a setup where, like, it locks up and to the right. There's many guns on the market that do that. Many, many guns, right? You've got the, what is it? The MDR locks up, I believe, at least. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does have a notch that locks up. You've got the Scorpion.
Yep, Scorpion.
The CZ Scorpion, that's polymer on polymer, right? One could argue, man, that might gall even worse than metal, right? I wonder if for the MP5 there would not be some type of an accessory, maybe like a little port, cocking port cover, or maybe a little piece of neoprene or plastic or Delrin or something you could clip on there to help act as a sacrificial point, you know, maybe.
There's not really a lot of real estate there.
There's not a lot of real estate, but I'm just saying where there's a will, there's a way. I mean, maybe some type of a little buffer or a pad or something of that nature to help.
Or we just quit being, you know, like weenies about it and you just break out your file, you know. Like, just be a man, break out the file and file that thing
down. Just be a man and slap it, Chad.
Just slap it.
Why can't you just slap it, Chad?
Because I am not in an operational environment, typically. I mean, you know, the...
I am in an operational environment, now operating operationally.
I'm usually just operating on a one-way range.
You know, the MP5 is some kind of old-school tech, but I like it. I mean, I think the MP5 is a really cool gun.
Well, it's definitely stood the test of time because these things were introduced, what, in 1960? I mean, that... Aside from the AR-15, like AR-10, AR-15, that platform, like, this is one of the most timeless designs out there that's seen use all over the world. And, like, look, I don't think hardly anybody has a problem with slapping the AHK, you know, but I just thought this would be a fun video, and I was complaining about it, and Eric was like, we need to do a gripe about that. I'm like, yeah. Oh, boy, okay. He just wants to see me getting roasted in the comments. Like, Chad, you're a pansy, man. Just stop.
Why can't you just slap it, man?
Just slap it, man.
Just slap it.
That'll be on T-shirt next.
Just slap
it. So Matt's going to get, like, wind of this video, and he's going to send me something in the mail.
Look, break out your big boy mitts and just slap it.
But, you know, it hurts my hand. Like,
bruises my hand.
Like, slap it one more time for the viewers.
Oh, please, do I have to?
Yes. Give it a good smack.
Now, you have to admit, that felt good, didn't it?
Look, it's satisfying. It really is. That's why everybody wants to do it, because that's what they do in the movies. But
there you go. That's the answer.
Should you do it?
Yes.
No.
All right. Well, you know, I feel like we probably need to do a full episode just talking about some of the different variants, and we will get those together. I have one of the Centuries, and I do have my old Zenith. And you have a PTR there.
Yep. So
maybe I'll see if we can borrow or get on loan one of the new HK MP5s that's coming in. And I think I have a buddy of mine that owns a Dakota I can probably borrow just to cut it. So I know there's some other builders out there, and I hope I'm not leaving anyone out because there are some really talented people out there that put together these delayed roller guns. And it's a small group of people. It's a niche group of people that does this sort of stuff and that's really good at it. I feel like PTR's made a great name for themselves over the years. I mean, their G3s are fantastic. Mm-hmm. The PTR 91 is a fantastic gun. Also, PTR is also sort of, if you will, they've gotten away from some of the traditional things and done some kind of outlandish stuff too. They have a gun called the PTR-31, and I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's a delayed roller gun that takes AK mags, shoots 7.62x39. Which is really cool. You know, I wanted to, you know, I've got a few packs, and I thought it'd be cool to get one of those and maybe just see just how smooth the 7.62x39 can shoot with that delayed roller system.
That one does take AK mags?
It does. Oh. Takes AK mags, absolutely. And they offer it in a pistol. So
wham.
Maybe we'll get one of those PTR-31s out to do a video on. I think that would be a lot of fun. And we'll just, maybe we'll compare it, like take the Mutant, and then maybe an AK-47 all in full auto along with that. And we'll film. Let's look at that recoil impulse and see just how much of that recoil is ate up by that delayed roller system. I think you'd be quite surprised. You know, a direct gas gun like the Mutant, they're still a pretty smooth shooting gun. It's still a DI gun. But I just don't know if it's going to be quite as smooth as a good delayed roller blowback gun. So that sounds like maybe a fun concept too. So we'll have some more videos coming out on this types of concepts, but we mainly want to talk about the slap. Get in there and slap it, okay? Look, you ain't going to hurt it. Now, don't slap it too hard. Don't leave marks on it. You're going to slap just – you don't want to leave handprints. You want to smack just hard enough to get the point across.
Always. We'll be seeing you.
Indeed, we will. I hope everyone has a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in. This has been the Slap Happy Hour with Iraq Veterans. So have yourselves a wonderful day. Thanks for tuning in. Go check out Flatline Fiber and tell Chad we said hello. Have a good day.